And welcome back to the Sports Ticket here on KD Country 94. It's time for our focus on K-State Athletics. And today it's brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. And here to talk K-State football, their big game against Oklahoma, or so we think. They're going to have a big game against Oklahoma coming up this Saturday at 11 a.m. is the sports director at K-Man Radio in Manhattan, host of the game from 4 to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. And also Powercat Game Day is John Kurtz. John, how you doing, my man?
Hey, I'm doing great. It's good to talk to you.
Same here. I know you've been busy trying to cover this very fluid situation with Kansas State in regards to, are they going to play? Are they not going to play? Some interesting comments from Coach Klieman yesterday at his press conference about how close K-State was to not even playing the first game of the year.
Yeah, it was definitely something that came down to the Friday before, which obviously is the last day of testing. They're being tested Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So, you know, I knew it was a fairly tricky situation there. I think on both sides, Arkansas State was missing a bunch of players in week one as well. And I think the problem for K-State right now is pretty obvious in that you have COVID going on, and contact tracing, I think, is really what a lot of it is, more than just mass numbers of cases at this point. But you also have injuries being a factor. And if you watch the game against Arkansas State, it was pretty apparent K-State was going to have problems in the secondary. They lost their two starting safeties in the game, Wayne Jones and Jerron McPherson. And when you throw that in now with COVID issues and Chris Klieman saying, hey, there's one position group that we're really close on the threshold of players right now, I think you could do some math and put that together. And it's not a real fun thing to be staring down the barrel of potentially barely having a bare-bones crew ready to go in the secondary at Oklahoma when you're taking on Lincoln Riley and Spencer Rattler in that offense, potentially.
I can't imagine the stress. And granted, there's bigger things in life than stressing out about a sporting event. I get that. But this is a sports talk show, so that's why we address sports. And, you know, for Coach Klieman, and for not just him but his whole coaching staff and also coaches across the country, as he pointed out in the cut we played earlier on the show, is that we're not the only ones dealing with this, but you were telling me before we came on the air this morning that it's pretty obvious that Coach Klieman's stressed with this situation. How could you not be?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. Like, I don't know how really any coach is able to deal with this on a consistent basis without freaking out on some front, you know? I mean, and especially when you're a younger coach, when you're a less established program, something Chris Klieman said I thought that was really interesting last week is, hey, you know, if I were in my eighth year, maybe we would try to do some things differently as far as taking more chances in trying to sacrifice things in the short term that may not be what we're trying to do long term, but to go ahead and win games this year in this crazy disjointed year. Whereas I'm in year two, I'm going to just stick with what I want to do and build and develop and not try to do anything to sacrifice anything in the long term for short term gains. And I think those are the kinds of things you have to be thinking about when you are going up in situations like K-State's about to.
Absolutely. Okay, so I'm going to ask you, this is a two-pointed question here, two-pronged question. In your opinion, and I know there's testing today and there's more tests on Friday, do you believe there will be a game Saturday in Norman? And if there is a game that's going to take place Saturday in Norman, is K-State better off not playing this game because how shorthanded they could be?
Yeah, I mean, I think as far as the game, I mean, I hate to give predictions because this stuff, you know, I mean, anything with COVID, it's just hard to predict anything and feel like you're going to be very confident about it. I mean, all I can say is that, yeah, right now, I mean, they're in about the same position they were last week, which made it really close, and they'll be tested again today and then on Friday, so maybe some things change after today. And as far as where they're better off, to be honest, if I'm looking at it as somebody who's not a player, not a coach, I don't think they can have this kind of an attitude at all, but somebody who evaluates the team, the mutual bye date that K-State and Oklahoma have is October 17th, which at least would give K-State a chance to play Texas Tech and TCU before they went into that game, which I think could be easier games to get some confidence going. You know, Texas Tech looked really bad against Houston Baptist. TCU, I know Max Duggan is coming back at quarterback, but he's been out for a while, so I don't know what exactly they're going to look like. I mean, I think you have a chance to pick up some wins, build some confidence, and maybe your COVID situation is a little bit different by the time you play that game. So, quite frankly, I would say I'd rather take that. You know, if I'm K-State, if I'm looking at it, I'd rather play the game then than play it on Saturday, because I think the thing that I fear is, even though I view this year really with an asterisk, by just about anything, you know, I mean, I'm not going to harshly judge K-State on what their record winds up being this year, considering the circumstances, but what you don't want to see is just a demoralizing loss that can start to, you know, really hurt the morale of a team when there's already so much going on that's affecting the psyche of these kids. So, yeah, my honest answer would be let's wait and play it on October 17th, especially if the secondary really is the issue right now.
John Kurtz, he's sports director at K-Man Radio Manhattan, host of The Game 4 to 6 Monday through Friday, our guest today on The Sports Ticket and the focus on K-State Athletics, brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit as well. What was the most alarming thing to you when you go back to that game against Arkansas State? What was the most alarming thing to you, as much as you can separate between being shorthanded and COVID and injuries? Was there anything that was particularly alarming to you from what you saw or stood out in that Arkansas State loss?
I mean, to me, it was the defense. We knew the offensive line was going to be a work in progress this year, having to replace virtually all five starters, and they only rushed for 93 yards. That's going to be tough to beat many teams when you play in the system that Chris Klieman and Courtney Messingham have, rushing for under 100 yards. But the defense, you know, you talk to people around fall camp, I think the feeling internally was that the defense was ahead of the offense, and there were pretty high hopes for the defense. And, you know, not only the fact that they couldn't slow down one receiver, and Jonathan Adams, who tore him up for the entire game, but, you know, it was also the fact that they couldn't really stop the running game. Beyond about midway through the second quarter on, Arkansas State had a pretty consistent ground game, and that allowed them to do basically whatever they wanted. Seven of their last eight drives went into the K-State red zone. Arkansas State had some unforced errors and a missed field goal, a fumble, that kind of thing, that kept it from potentially being a bigger win, even for the Red Wolves. So I would say, to me, that is the biggest question mark, and the secondary is where that would start. And, you know, now just between injuries and personnel and everything there, I think that's where most of my concern is with the team.
All right, the matchup with Oklahoma, if we play it on Saturday, Spencer Rattler, one start in his career, and I don't know if you really fully count it because it was against Missouri State. It was really a glorified scrimmage, although he is a super talented kid, and Oklahoma just finds a way to get the best quarterbacks. But not only that, they have the guys that fit their system, and then Coach Riley does a wonderful job of scheming, and of course it helps to have weapons and really good recruits. Don't get me wrong there. But when you look at this matchup with Oklahoma on Saturday, how does K-State try to contain or corral Spencer Rattler?
It'll be tough. I mean, I think the hope would be that your pass rush is something that can really bother him and affect him, because Missouri State wasn't able to get to him really at all. He's very comfortable back there, and you do have Wyatt Hubert, who I think you could argue is the best pass rusher in the Big 12. And I expect K-State to get Khalid Duke back, who is a second-year player. I guess he's a sophomore. He did play seven games last year. He's a sophomore, but a really rising star. They think he is going to be great. So you have a potential, a couple bookend defensive ends there that could be really good. I think that has to be the formula if you're going to slow him down, is get a lot of pressure on him. But it'll be tough. I mean, I was really impressed just watching an extended highlight of Oklahoma's win over Missouri State. I mean, Rattler, he's got a very easy release, just flicks it downfield, and the ball carries with incredible velocity. I mean, all you have to do is watch him throw the ball a couple of times to really realize that he's a special talent, and Lincoln Riley's track record obviously speaks for itself with what he's been able to do. So it'll be really tough, but I think if you do want to have a shot, you just have to make him uncomfortable and see how he reacts to that for the first time in his college career.
My thought for K-State to have a chance to win in Norman on Saturday, too, is Skylar Thompson has to play well. And I thought in the game against Arkansas State that he had his moments, but there certainly were passes that he flat out missed. And he's one of his – he's probably the harshest critic of himself, as you know. And I know that Skylar was banged up. Where does Skylar sit in regards to health going into this game? And then, and how would you assess his performance in that first game and what he has to improve upon for K-State to knock off a top-five Oklahoma team for the second year in a row?
Yeah, Skylar – the case of Skylar Thompson's a really interesting one, because I think fans – view him so differently. I always compare it to the ink blot test. You know, you splatter some ink on a page and somebody will see something completely different than the next guy. I thought it was pretty indicative, really, of his whole career. I thought he was pretty good, but not great, and left you wanting more. And if he would have hit just two or three of those balls that were a couple inches off, I mean, it would have been a great performance. He would have thrown for probably a career high in yardage for him, because it's not that high, and it would have been three or four touchdowns, and you would have won the game, and people would feel great. But just that little bit, you know, leaves you wanting more. And you know, I think some of that can be attributed to the fact that he was running for his life a lot of the game. He's got a new offensive line. He was dealing with a third-string center. probably hasn't had as much time to get on the same page with these receivers. His top two, in some ways, arguably receivers, weren't in the game, and Youngblood and Mikey Gill. So there are a number. You can make a lot of excuses for what happened there with some of those throws. But the bottom line is he is a fifth-year senior, and K-State expects and needs a lot out of him. I think as far as his health goes, it sounds like he's going to be okay. He didn't practice at all last week. They just backed off of him, and then he's been back at practice this week. So, I mean, I think he will play and I assume be fine for the most part. But, yeah, I mean, he's going to continue to further that narrative that has really been out there over the last 3 or 4 years, where it's this debate between fans of, like, is he good enough or not? I think the reality is he's a solid Big 12 quarterback, but still yet to prove that he can be a good to great Power 5 quarterback.
I'm going to have you go back in the time machine to last year when, and the last two times that K-State's played Oklahoma and Manhattan, the time prior to last year, Alex Delton and K-State nearly beat Oklahoma and Baker Mayfield. That game, I believe, was 35-28. It was tied up 28-1. And then last year going into the game, I didn't give K-State a great chance to win the game, but we did talk about how, listen, if you're a K-State fan and you're giving this team no chance to beat Oklahoma at home, remember, Alex Delton was a quarterback, and this team nearly beat Baker Mayfield and the Sooners on that very field. So I gave K-State a chance to win that game last year. I'm surprised how they went about in winning the game last year and how dominant they were for a while. So here's the question. Are you more optimistic or pessimistic going into this game Saturday? Of course, granted, it's on the road in Norman, but not with a full house of fans than you were going into the K-State-Oklahoma game last year. Lots of people didn't give K-State much of a chance to win.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't real optimistic last year, but I'm more pessimistic this year than I was last year. I mean, the fact that it's not a home game, and really just the fact that I hate to sound like a broken record, but it just goes all the way back to, I mean, I don't know what the personnel situation looks like in the secondary, and that makes it really tough to feel confident about doing anything against Oklahoma. So, you know, the lines are pretty similar. K-State's about a 28-point underdog, depending on where you look in this game. It was 23.5 last year at home, so Vegas would tell you that K-State's a bigger underdog this time around, and I would lean toward that. I would agree with that. I think the fear is it doesn't turn into 2018, which is the last time K-State was in Norman and gave up 700 yards of offense. Kyler Murray just made K-State look like child's play, and that to me, in a lot of ways, and there were probably a lot of beginnings of the end for Bill Snyder 2.0, but as far as that season, that was the one that was really a bright, flashing, blinking red light, that things were not moving in the right direction. And Bill Snyder really had to seem to have a moment of self-reflection after the game in 2018 on that front, just listening back to some of the audio of that yesterday. So I think that's the hope. You don't want it to turn into that. And I think this program is headed in the right direction, but if you're throwing a skeleton crew out there on defense, I mean, Oklahoma's capable of making it look like that again.
We should point out that Oklahoma doesn't reveal this information because they feel it could be a competitive advantage or disadvantage. So for all we know, Oklahoma could be having problems as well, and they could be short on personnel. So I don't know. I watched the Oklahoma State-Tulsa game Saturday, and that was one of the ugliest games I've ever seen. But I had to stop myself and not be too critical because those were two programs that had started, stopped practices. And it just goes to show you how practice is so important. And some people, you know, that aren't, I don't know if I want to say diehard fans, but they don't understand what goes into preparing for a football game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think a lot of it even goes back to just spring practice and things that would typically happen over the course of an off season, and not being able to have consistent workouts, which is really where you're setting the culture of your program. I think a lot, Chris Kleiman's kind of made those points, that a lot of those things that you would typically have instilled in guys just are not there. And so I think when you combine all of that, even lump in, hey, there's been, at K-State, there's been a lot, you know, going on with the social justice element that is in play in the country right now. Obviously, everything that happened with the Jaden McNeil situation back in July, all the way through K-State, you know, Gene Taylor being pretty open about getting a lot of complaints about wearing the Black Lives Matter patches that they had on the jerseys and the season opener Saturday against Arkansas State. So you just throw all that stuff on top as distractions for players and coaches. I mean, it becomes pretty tough. These guys are no different than anybody else in 2020 right now. I mean, right? There's a lot of distractions and a lot of other things to think about that are affecting everybody's daily life right now.
And that's where I wanted to go next. Your interview with Athletic Director Gene Taylor. I listened to the comment that you posted there on social media on Twitter, addressing the Unity game and the BLM patch on the jerseys. What was your take out of what Mr. Taylor said? Because there was some fallout. He I thought was pretty blunt and straightforward for the most part, and saying, "Hey, yeah, we did lose some season ticket holders, or we lost maybe a few supporters because they're not for what we did." And then I thought the other thing that stood out was, we're not supporting that organization per se, but yet you still had the BLM patch on the jerseys. How did you construe and take all that into consideration after you heard it? And what were your thoughts on his comments on your show?
I wasn't really surprised. He's typically very open about everything, and that was a lot of what he said was very consistent with what I had been hearing behind the scenes. But I do know that K-State dealt with a lot of flack and a lot of blowback. And as Gene Taylor pointed out, a lot of people coming pretty ardent in support of them and what they did as well. But, you know, I mean, I think it's an honest reality of where we're at in 2020. I don't think K-State is really much different than most places across the country. For instance, I was talking to somebody at Texas Tech earlier this week where they dealt with the same kind of thing. I don't know if they had specific patches like that, but they were doing a unity kind of game at BLM and that sort of thing, and they got a lot of blowback there in West Texas. So I think most college fan bases, much like the country, you're going to get a split where people are obviously very divided on that topic. I think, you know, the frustrating part for me, and I'm going to get some of my personal opinion here, but just as somebody that is a K-State grad and a K-State fan, it's frustrating to me that as a school that's branded itself with the word family for years, and really seem to embrace that under Bill Snyder, it's frustrating to me that more fans aren't willing to take a step back and understand, like, hey, okay, if we're going to be a family, let's listen to what these kids that provide our entertainment are trying to say to us here, and listen to them and not just get distracted by whatever your thoughts are on an organization here that's at play. It's pretty clear that there's also a movement that has branched off of that is not all-encompassing of one organization. And Gene Taylor, I thought, did a good job of making all that clear. So it is what it is. It's 2020. You're going to deal with some of that.
The Big 12's rough start. I know that you like to have some fun with Iowa State fans. I have certainly noticed that. Iowa State seems to be overrated here for the last few years, certainly under Matt Campbell. They lost, of course, then K-State lost later to Arkansas State. Then KU got just ran out of the building there in the first half against Coastal Carolina, came back, made it a little bit more respectable. I know it's early, and because of all the variables that we're dealing with here, but, I mean, when you look at the Big 12, I mean, what are your thoughts right now on it, and is this simply Oklahoma's conference to win again?
Yeah, I mean, probably. Texas looked really good, too, and they have an experienced quarterback. I just think it's been a little overblown, the Big 12's week one, and the frustrating thing to me is I think if the Big 12 would have gone with just a conference-only schedule, a 9-plus-1, play 1v2, 3v4, et cetera, on the last week of the season to still fulfill your TV inventory without playing non-conference games at the beginning of the year, you wouldn't have hung yourself out to dry, because yeah. I think it's a tough situation. We're talking about all these uncertainties, and all of that is true and exists, and you have to go out and play capable enough teams from the Sun Belt that can absolutely beat you. I mean, that's a tough thing, and that would be a tough thing if that's SEC schools tried to do that, ACC schools, Big Ten schools, et cetera. But the Big 12 is really the one league that put themselves out there in that way. So it just led to being an easy target for a lot of jokes there that I think are, I get it, and I make a lot of the jokes too, but I think perception-wise, the Big 12 hurt themselves unnecessarily as far as that is concerned. So I think there will be some overreaction to it. I mean, yeah, right now it's hard to say that you feel confident about anybody other than Oklahoma and Texas. Maybe Oklahoma State. I mean, I think not having Spencer Sanders clearly hurt them quite a bit. But I don't think Iowa State, K-State, and perhaps Kansas are as bad really as they looked in week one. I think there will be some course correction to that. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's Oklahoma and Texas and then everybody else.
John Kurtz, sports director, K-Man in Manhattan, our guest today on Sports Ticket. All right, time for the off-the-wall question. Ties to what I just brought up to you. What fan base do you like to mess with or what troll on Twitter, whatever? They troll you and then you fire back, whatever the case may be. Is there a fan base that you like to mess with more than anybody else, whether it's Iowa State, Nebraska, or others, or stuff you get from other fan bases where you just shake your head and go, man, they don't get it, so this is just too easy? Or do you just sit there and go, okay, this is so easy, I'm not even going to bother wasting my time?
Yeah, I mean, the three that come up pretty constantly are Nebraska, Iowa State, and Kansas. I think the most entertaining lately, honestly, has been Iowa State, and I think a lot of that has developed, one, because K-State and Iowa State have played a lot of close games over the last 10 years or so, and two, Iowa State's program has ascended, but not quite to the level that I think they want to believe that it's at, and I think similar schools, similar situations, they would love to have the football program that K-State has had. It's a big brother, little brother kind of a thing that has developed there, and I think it's a lot of fun. There's been pretty good back and forth with that. So I enjoy that aspect of it. I think the other element is just, you know, it gets frustrating, Matt Campbell being anointed as the next great thing in college football, and I think he's a very good coach, but I also think he's hit like a glass ceiling at Iowa State, and I don't know that he's getting that program higher than where it's at right now. So, you know, it's fun. It's fun to look down a little bit at Iowa State from that element. I mean, Nebraska's pretty easy to take shots at right now as well. They're just getting it from all different angles at this point. And Kansas football is Kansas football, and Bill Self is under the microscope of the NCAA right now. So there are a lot of fun ways to attack all three, but right now the most fun seems to be Iowa State.
All right, man. Let everybody know how they can listen to you when they're in the area to listen to K-Man.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So I do a two-hour show, 4 to 6, on K-Man in Manhattan. You can listen to it on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get podcasts. Just search The Game, K-M-A-N, to find that. Also got a podcast on Apple and Google. It's Faithful to Our Colors once a week through 610 Sports in Kansas City. You can also listen to that. You can follow me on Twitter at J.L. Kurtz. You can find me on YouTube. It's John Kurtz on YouTube as well if you want some of those in shorter, more digestible snippets. So lots of ways that you can listen to me.
That sounds good. John, you do a wonderful job. Thanks for the time, as always. Stay healthy, and we'll talk to you again down the line, and hopefully next time we're talking we know a little bit more, have a little more certainty in the world and the sports world as well. Take care. That's John Kurtz from K-Man Radio Manhattan, our guest today on The Sports Ticket, brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit as well.